Previously on the Critical Mass Podcast.
Is this thing on? Okay.
I seen it happen. Eat a duck.
You saw a catfish eat a duck?
It's fuel for the imagination.
Do you hear things too?
Sound bites! Keep them frozen, they're good!
I hear someone.
No, don't turn it down.
Hi, I'm Winston.
I'm Curtis.
And you're listening to the Critical Mass Podcast. Thank you for joining us here in the Reaction Chamber. We're going to try and move this along because we're really excited. We've got a lot of very cool stuff to talk about. But leading the charge, Curtis, what is coming to Evansville?
Sharknado 1.
Not just Sharknado, but Sharknado the Riff.
Yes.
The Riff. The guys over at Riff Tracks did a live riffing of Sharknado on July 10th. And we are going to get the second showing of that is dropping on the 15th, July 15th,
yeah,
that's Tuesday. This coming Tuesday as we record.
Yep.
And we were hoping. I was looking at the map, saying, "Oh, maybe they'll come to Nashville. Maybe they'll because they recorded it in Minneapolis,
yeah.
Right? Yeah." And then it was broadcasted to different theaters around the country. Well, they're doing a second. I guess demand was enough to generate a second one. We were just keeping our fingers crossed.
Just generate hype for Sharknado 2.
Sharknado, exactly. I mean, talk about a brilliant marketing campaign, right? But we missed the July 10th. Maybe Nashville will get it, right? That's close. I'm looking at the map. Clarksville. Clarksville's just next door. It's an hour and a half away. We can make this, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going up. I'm still in Tennessee. I got to get up to the eyes, right? Indiana? Evansville's got it.
Good enough.
We will be in the theater.
Podcasting live. We were so kicked out.
We're going to podcast their riff.
Like it was a science fiction theater 2000.
Oh, well, that's what these guys used to do. That's their thing. So no, we're not going to do that. But we're going to be there. We're going to have two or three buckets of popcorn between us, and it's going to be a. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking I really think I'm going to have to do. We're going to have to do that. We're going to show up at Drew's place an hour beforehand. Put a black bag over his head.
Make sure he's home.
Yeah, and drag him with us.
He might be at church. We might have to raid the church.
Well, hey, I'll set up a distraction. You take him out.
Easy enough. Grab his shoes.
Yes. Now, it must be done. It will be fun. So if you want to join us across the country, there are theaters, a bunch of them are going to be doing this. Go to rifftrax.com, RIFFTRAX.com, and I'll put a link in the show notes. And you can find more information about their Riff Tracks Live and the Sharknado event. And, of course, like I said, this is all hype for Sharknado 2.
Oh, yeah.
And, we're excited about this. All right, so moving on in a similar vein, we have some B-movie reviews for you. First time in a long time. So first up on our movie reviews, both films by The Asylum. The first one is Age of Tomorrow. Curtis, give me a quick first impression of Age of Tomorrow. Let's start with the cover art. The cover art for Age of Tomorrow.
Hmm.
It's got that creepy little girl on there with the fractured face and the the coal black eyes that just kind of reach out of the packaging and suck you in.
It looks like it's some kind of demonic vampire alien invasion, but it's not.
No, they claim it's a cross between Prometheus and I forget. And yeah, it's Prometheus and something else.
But no.
And it's not. It's not. And doodly doodly do. I've lost completely my train of thought there.
No. It's,
but the title of it, of course, is Age of Tomorrow versus Age of Extinction, right?
Yeah.
Or Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow, the Tom Cruise.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Emily Blunt movie, which it has no even ties, links to, or even close to in any sort of way.
No, nothing at all like it. Just a quick sum up. This is much more like, what did we decide? It was Armageddon meets
Independence Day.
Yeah. Yeah, Armageddon meets Independence
Day. Without all the cool ships.
Yeah. Well, we got some cool ships.
Oh, towards the end.
We did. Yeah. All right. So let's apply our standard B movie ratings to this. First one, we're looking at body count. What was the violence level on this one? How did that rank up there for you?
Average.
Yeah, it was just kind of about average, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, towards we didn't the get end, any it really increased. It was gradual, but it was not a big slaughter in points.
Yeah, we got a little bit of dog fighting. We got a little bit of shooting out, you know, shootouts, a little bit of hand to hand,
axe throwing.
Yeah, right. Who knew firemen were that dangerous?
Yeah, some are.
So yeah, I mean the body count, the violence level is okay.
Yeah, it's not it was high. Okay. It's not low. It's running along the medium. They tried to tell a story, but a lot of
story. They did try to tell a story. All right, so next up would be Blood. What's the gore level on this one for you?
Low.
Yeah, not a gory film at all.
No. There was blood splatter when they wounded, but nothing like, you know.
Yeah, I think there was like one or two shock scenes in there.
Yeah, but minor.
Yeah, minor. Well, breasts and butts. Not there wasn't any nudity in this one to speak of.
No.
Nothing at all.
No. I still watched it.
Huh. No. I know. What are we going to do with you? And we've been too long. What's my B word for for literary value? I don't remember.
Oh hell, I don't know either.
But anyway, there is a story. There is a story here. It makes sense.
Yeah.
They follow it from point A to point B. We get character development.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah. I think that's what hooked us, the story. I mean, started out like you thinking it's Armageddon, a big old asteroid's coming to Earth. They're going to send up a team to blow it up. Find out it's an alien ship.
And then the alien ship turns into a portal to another planet.
To their planet. To the whole planet of the aliens.
Oh, Ender's Game. That's what it was. Yes. Armageddon meets Ender's Game. Meets Independence Day.
Yeah.
That's what it was all about.
And we lose.
I know. Isn't that terrible?
Oh, sorry. Spoiler.
quick tangent here. The feeling on spoilers is everybody's got their own, right?
Yeah.
My feeling is that if you're watching these kind of movies,
you don't give a
damn. Not in it for the intricate surprise. Yeah, the intricate plotting and the surprise twist ending.
Because it's mostly not there.
I just don't think so. You want something that's solid and entertaining, and this one definitely gave us something that was solid and entertaining.
Yes.
So, and of course, once again, the cover art and story blurb bear no resemblance to the content.
Nor does it resemble the movie it was mocking or, you know, being a tangent of at all.
No.
Which really blows, but you know.
Well, it's all right. You know, it was its own entity, and I quite enjoyed it. So, what's our verdict on the movie? Is this a buy, borrow, or boycott?
Ooh, I don't know about buying.
I've already bought it, so
yeah, I know. You're kind of screwed. But
here's the question I'm looking at: is this a movie that I'm going to pick up randomly and just pop in and watch the way I've already watched Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark 5 times. That was awesome.
Yeah.
This one,
I don't think so.
I think this is one that I have to put in the borrow category.
Yeah, because it's one of those things to watch, but it's not rewatchable. To an extent, it is, but after a point, it's like, come on, win.
Right?
Because, you know.
Right?
Because there's basically three storylines almost in that.
Yeah, there's three different interwoven storylines, and it was really well done. But the... For what it is, it's almost like a made-for-TV miniseries.
Yes.
And it's only got a very limited rewatchability. So I would say this one goes solidly in the borrow category.
Yeah.
If I had got this from Netflix or somewhere, I would have been okay sending it back. And, you know, maybe once a year or every 6 months.
Really bored, nothing else, slap it in.
You know, I might come back to it. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm probably going to come back, now that we say this, I'm probably going to come back to it and do a quick character study on it. Just because.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's going to make me a good writing film. Because there's nothing in there that's going to distract me.
True.
So...
That's
you know, I can put that on and keep the kids away by saying, no, I'm watching a movie while I sit down and get work done, right?
Yeah, really.
So, yeah, solidly in the borrow category for us.
Yeah. See, we're reviewing now Hercules Reborn by the Asylum.
Yes, also, and that one, I almost missed this one, Kurt.
No, I didn't know it was coming out at all.
I didn't either. It appeared, it appeared on the blog in the trailer section a little while back, but I didn't see anything about it, and I checked for it Wednesday, and boom. Hercules Reborn in theater or in you know, in stores yesterday.
Yeah, in theaters, my ass.
Really? I didn't see it. Yeah. That's okay. Went back, picked it up. So what are your and let's lead off with the WWE guy. Do you remember his name?
Oh hell no.
Okay, yeah, me neither. Okay, well, it's got some WWE wrestler.
He's playing Hercules.
As playing Hercules. Lead off, Kurt. What's your first impressions?
It's okay. I mean, it tells the story of Hercules, sorta. Well, it begins with him killing his family.
Yeah, which is not something you see very often. I mean, you wouldn't catch Kevin Sorbo killing his wife and kids.
Yeah, but I wouldn't see Kevin Sorbo in this film anyway.
No, Kevin Sorbo, this is not.
But then it turns out that we see a guy cork a bottle, so somebody did something to his drink to make him go nuts to kill him.
Yeah.
And then we jump to the real story of the town with the guys becoming a legionnaire or whatever, joining the army, going to get married to the princess we find out way later.
Yeah.
Got some friends, and then how the general of the army turns against the king, takes over the town. And him and his buddies then have to go find Hercules to help them kill the opposing leader and save the town.
So what did we decide? This was one part Conan.
One part Conan.
One part Gladiator.
Oh, yeah. Gladiator. One part Robin Hood, because at one point they're all yelling, "Rise, rise against the king," or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your initial feeling about this one? You said it was just okay.
Maybe, it was.
Well, let's jump to our...
sucked on some of them so bad.
You thought so?
Yeah, and then some parts it was just a wrestling match.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, I have to give it to you.
Because, I mean, if you watch the main character, the soldier guy, is going to get his girl. his acting really blew at the points. And then towards the end when he was, you know, acting ruler, he was all stiff and
right,
just wasteful.
They did seem to wobble between really stiffly delivering their lines.
To loose.
To, yeah, it was kind of all over the place. Now, I liked the guy playing Hercules.
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty solid throughout, but he it was little, mostly, I'm angry
in
throughout.
Fight scenes, which wrestling you do.
Yeah, which, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was okay.
Yep.
The well, let's apply our B ratings. Body count. How was the violence level on this one for you? The fight scenes deserve special mention because this is a movie about, you know,
fighting.
So
it was okay.
Yeah,
you didn't see. Okay. I mean, the blood, you know, spurted out mouths, but there was no slash and big gouts. It was just after the fact. You see her throat slit,
right?
Blood pouring down,
right? It was okay. It was just okay.
I mean,
it reminded me of most of the action scenes you see on television shows.
Yeah. Yeah, where they don't go for massive gore because they want everybody to watch it.
Yeah, they don't go. Yeah, they don't do that. They don't do the hyper violence. It's not really highly stylized. It's also not really highly choreographed.
No,
it's worlds better than, you know, say Three Musketeers, the Asylum's version of Three
okay.
Musketeers.
Yes.
Okay. Which I think is one of their low points in especially in swordplay.
Yeah, definitely.
but you know, it was okay. It was very, very average. Blood. Let's talk about the blood. The gore level in this film is not very high.
No.
We see some guys get their throat cut,
open wounds, blood coming out of the mouth.
But again, I mean, it wasn't anything
it wasn't constant.
You wouldn't see on television.
You saw a lot of bruises, that kind of thing. They did.
Right.
That was it.
We've seen worse on CSI. So the gore level on this one's really kind of tame also.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, breasts and butts. In a gladiator movie.
None.
I think the only B we're going to get on that is Beefcake.
Because
Hercules went the entire movie with his shirt off.
And then bad guy general sidekick.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody in the movie is ripped.
Mm-hmm.
As far as nudity or anything like that, I mean, there were no love scenes.
No, there was only basically three female actresses, and two of them died.
Yeah, and, you know, the one point where the bad guy, you know, goes in and he's going to... We think that there's going to be a rape in progress, and there is.
But we don't see it.
But they don't show it.
It's implied.
Yeah, it's implied, which I thought was a better way to handle that.
Yeah. You know, well, the way the movie was going, that would have been just out of touch.
Yeah, it would have been, and it's not the kind of thing. It's not the kind of thing that you want to see. It's not the kind of thing that I want to see in
especially when it's not that kind of movie in the first place. So that violence right there just sticks out like a sore thumb and ruins it.
Yeah, it would have.
It'd have to be that violent all the way through to make it appropriate for the movie, and they didn't do that.
And they didn't do that. Now let's talk about the substance of the film. The story was just really, really bare bones.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot there to really grab onto. It is a very, very basic
revenge
story. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And, they don't do a whole lot with it. It's basically a chance for them to showcase the scenery and showcase these guys beating each other up. Was there anything in the movie that really stood out for you?
They were all Roman legionnaires in a time of Greek.
Okay, the costuming deserves special mention.
Yeah.
Because the costuming was good.
It was good, but not at the appropriate time.
Right.
Because they're all the soldiers and stuff were all Roman legionnaires and stuff, but they were saying it was a time of Greece before all that. And I'm like, new.
Yeah, but they were nice costumes.
Yeah, they actually found some nice
costumes.
They must have raided the gladiator set.
The weaponry, on the other hand,
oh,
the
Jesus.
Weaponry was very
You could see the Knicks is like, what the heck? Somebody forgot to give them and gave them all their practice swords.
The weaponry was very obviously weathered vinyl, weathered crap. Foam rubber.
Yeah.
And
looks like they raided the Spartacus maybe set and yeah, said, hey, you got anything left over?
Yeah, there and there that one when the chick had the knife that was supposed to be hammered tin?
Yeah, something
or something like that. It was supposed to be hammered metal, and oh my gosh,
it looked like dented metal.
But yeah, bent no. The wrong one way. Of the things that stood out to me was the cinematography, and I remarked on this in the middle of the film.
Yeah,
this movie looks beautiful.
Yeah.
The director, the cinematography director especially, knows what he's doing. It's lit perfectly, which is really, really hard to do.
Definitely.
When you're talking about a movie that is basically set in the desert, right?
Yep, totally. Desert. Some kind of, well, I think it had to do with that one company. They probably had the set where they went
to.
Yeah,
probably. Casbah.
Yeah, Casbah.
Rock the Casbah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because they probably had this set or something, because that was all it looked like. I know I've seen that whole set somewhere else, too.
Oh, sure. I'm sure there's...
Probably a TV show.
Yeah, it's somewhere over in the Middle East.
Maybe they used a Sinbad set.
They might have. God rest Sinbad. So, yeah, but the cinematography was great. I mean, the landscapes, the sweeping vistas that we get to see. I mean, it was obviously painfully not Greece.
Yeah. No.
But it looked good.
Yeah, I know. They should just, yeah.
But it looked great. And I read somewhere that when I found out about it, that somebody had commented that this the writer was obviously channeling Conan.
Yeah.
Instead of Hercules.
But he wasn't channeling the right
and,
Conan.
I have to agree. This was far more a gladiator Spartacus, you know.
Revenge.
That's yeah. Well, like we said, it wasn't so much gods and monsters as it was, you know, the blood and sand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, Hercules Reborn from the Asylum. Where do we place this on the B rating? Is this
borrow.
A buy bar? Yeah, I have to agree. This borrow. Is a borrow. This
Won't
film is a borrow.
It. I'll borrow it.
I'll probably wind up popping it in one more time just because.
Just make sure.
Yeah, just because. But this, I have a feeling this is not going to be a go-to film. But
no.
At the same hand, you know, on the same token, I'm not going to get rid of it. That's not new. Well, I was going to say, what's the last Asylum film I got rid of? Alien Origin.
Yeah.
And Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
God,
you didn't watch that one
no.
with me, did you? Oh, my gosh.
I saw the trailers. That yeah. was good enough to go, no that's
that,
too
That
iffy.
Was early Asylum, though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That was, no.
Okay, Hercules Reborn. Borrow. So, at Pokemon League tonight, the kids prevailed upon us.
Yeah, we didn't play. We don't go there no more.
Nope. We're out, man. I'm out.
Never.
No, but we were... Two things got us really excited at the comic book store, at the Comic Quest.
Yep.
And the first one is Pocket Ogre, or maybe Ogre Pocket Edition.
Yeah, Ogre Pocket Edition, or whatever. It doesn't fit in a pocket.
Little bit bigger. Maybe a wide front pocket from the 70s. Remember, it's from the 70s. You got to think 70s-sized pockets. So what this is from Steve Jackson Games. Ogre was released in 1977.
Yep.
And it was a tactical hexagon game.
Yes.
Which was, these were very, very popular back then. And this was Steve Jackson's entry into the field and one of his early games, if not his very first.
Yeah, Car Wars and that.
Yeah. So, of course, he had his big Kickstarter for Ogre Deluxe or Ogre Miniatures, I think they're calling it.
Yeah, whatever it's Ogre, whatever Deluxe, it's whatever. It's just
oh my
beautiful.
Gosh. It's beautiful. It's expensive.
I think it's like $200.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, seeing a Gen Con all set up.
But Ogre Pocket Edition is a re-release of the original game with all the bugs, as they put it, with 16 years worth of development to iron out things that needed it.
Yeah.
So it's basically the original game, but streamlined and re-released for the original price, which was $2.95. You know what? $3. It's Ogre. Oh, it's cool. Yes. Look, it's a $3 game. It's in this little bitty thing. Kurt, you know what? The kids are playing. We got 2 hours here.
It'll kill 30 minutes. Oh, dear God. We got to read the book. There's big words.
There's a combat results table. When's the last time you saw a combat results table?
Ratios. What the heck? Math.
No.
No. Math.
Thank God for apps.
Yes, the Ogre app was a lifesaver. And but it's got a whole bunch of little punch out. You know, counters.
Yeah, cardboard pieces.
And then a little hexagon map. And it's just really basic. I mean, it really is a re-release of the original thing. And and it's really basic. It's for $3. You bought one on the way out.
Yeah. I mean, we played it. We enjoyed it. And I'm like, yep, damn it. I'm getting it.
Yeah. And
I think we could do different things with it, too.
Well, we only played the basic scenario. And we didn't get into the additional rules. And like I said, I think we got some of the rules wrong. So.
Usually do.
But it was cool. It was fun. My brother-in-law taught me how to play these types of games way back when I was a kid, and that, you know, when I was 7 or 8, and which was good for him because it enabled me to forgive him for stealing my big sister. so anyway. But yeah, it was cool. What's your first impression of the Ogre Pocket? Pocket Edition.
I like it.
As far as a tactical
game.
It's
simple tactics, and if you know the rules completely, there's some thinking. And then the different scenarios will make it better. But, I mean, the basic scenario is always the neatest because there's so many variables on the points you choose. You know, you get the ogre.
Right.
And then the opponent or defender chooses the forces, and, you know, he has to choose the correct forces.
Yeah.
You know.
To sum this up, an ogre is a powerful super tank with a bunch of mini weapons, and the basic scenario has one player takes the ogre, the other player takes an army, and it's one tank versus the army. That's what an ogre is.
Yes.
And, I mean, very obviously inspired by Keith Lawmer's Bolo series in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, definitely.
And on into the 70s, so... Very, very cool. I liked it. I think, like you said, I think there's some tactical depth there, even in this early game.
Yeah. And it took long enough time to where we...
It killed the evening, didn't it?
Yeah, totally.
So, hey, and it's probably going to kill a couple of more Pokemon League evenings.
If it works, it works.
It's easy to transport. It's going to happen. Yeah, do you want to say anything else about Ogre Pocket Edition in specific?
No, I liked it. I mean, simple, sort of. Well, you got to read the rules.
I think we were making it more complicated than we needed to.
The ratio thing kind of blows. You got to go reduce stuff. Like, really?
Yeah, but the app solves that.
Yeah, but if you don't have the app.
Yeah. So this is one of several pocket games, mini games.
Oh, it makes things you want to get the Car Wars stuff.
Yeah, things like Raiders of the Lost Temple. And what was the other one that we were messing with for a while?
Oh, God.
I don't know. And it's I could walk into the other room and get the box with all that stuff in it, but it's so far away.
Yeah. There's several, but those are not as tactical.
No,
those
are
a board game like.
No, but yeah.
Yeah.
But those were really, really light, and this one's really, really not.
But
it's good. And you know what? It's extremely portable. I think this could fit into.
Well, makes me want to, like I said, want to get the look into the Car Wars and the other ones he did, and just, you know, put a bunch together and carry them around. Cause
So Ogre Pocket Edition, $3 from Steve Jackson Games Online or at your local friendly gaming store. I think he even sells it as a PDF for $1 or so.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah, which is nice. I mean, throw him $1, check it out if you like tactical games at all. It's worthwhile. On a related note, then the other thing that got us really excited about going to the comic book store tonight.
Yep.
What did we find?
Atomic Robo
book.
The RPG physical book form.
Yeah, the good folks at Evil Hat have finally released the Atomic Robo RPG. It's beautiful.
Nice.
What's our one complaint? Let's get that out
not
of the way.
Not hardback.
Okay, that's your complaint. That's my complaint,
the size,
is that it's not a 6x9 book. No. It's comic book sized.
Yeah.
Which I guess it's okay. It's designed to fit on the shelf next to your Atomic Robo Trade paperbacks, I suppose.
Yeah, but still.
But it doesn't fit on the shelf next to my Fate books.
I could forgive
books.
That more if they had it in hardback.
Right. We wanted the hardcover.
Yeah, for that big a size and that price, yes.
It is a big book.
Yes.
It is a full color printing.
Nice paper, makes it weighty.
Oh, very pretty, and it's got the same kind of cover as the other soft cover Fate books.
Yep.
So it feels nice.
Feels Fate.
Smells nice.
I haven't smelled mine yet.
You're missing out.
I know.
So, yeah, and you know they use extensively the Atomic Robo artwork and comic strip inside, which is good.
Yeah, I love that.
We just picked these up; haven't got to look at them at all. There's some tweaks to the Fate system noticed right offhand.
Yeah,
including something called modes. I'm looking forward to finding out what that's all about. And I noticed that they have streamlined the skill selection, chopped it down because it's supposed to be a Fate core build.
Yeah.
And they've chopped the skill selection down from 18 to 13, which is going to affect the skill points distribution a little bit.
Well, did they change that?
Or did I didn't look at that part.
So they might have scaled that down, too.
They might have. Or that may be what modes are for. You may be able to spend some of your points on modes.
Hopefully.
Instead of that. Or so. Something. But we're looking forward to diving into this. Now, one important thing to know about the Atomic Robo for Fate is that it includes the entire basic rule set.
Yes.
So if you don't have the Fate Core rule book, don't worry, you don't need it. It's like Spirit of the Century. It includes the entire basic game. And the price tag kind of took me back because this is a $35 book.
Yeah, soft cover.
Yeah, $35 soft cover book.
Yeah, $5 more, made it hardback. Well, I mean, it was that close. I mean, really.
Yeah.
For that size, I expect to usually pay 40.
See, I would have paid 40 for a hardcover without blinking.
Yeah, because that size, that thickness, that's a $40 book nowadays.
Yeah. They could have done
art,
it.
Just gave
wish
it.
They had, but they didn't.
Yeah.
That's okay. We're still going to read it and enjoy it. So there.
Yes.
So Atomic Robo, any other observations?
The comic strip throughout. They basically doing some story, but it's also the dungeon master and the players basically working out the scenario of the comic and telling you what's happening. They do the roles, get the thing, and that decision is, you know, portrayed in the comic you're reading.
Yes, that was very, very cool. They did the same thing in the Dresden books, didn't they?
Yes. So, yeah, just not as comic.
Right. The Dresden text is done all in manuscript style.
Post notes and all this stuff stuck on the side.
Right.
Yeah.
But and yeah, this one looks and feels and reads like a comic book.
Yeah, which it is.
Which it is, which is the source material.
But yeah.
But yeah, the production quality of this is just nice. Super. And the graphic design on it is very, very pleasing. This is going to be fun.
This is going to be fun. Just can't let Greg.
We can't let Greg anywhere near it, can we?
No.
I'm looking forward to seeing if they do anything different with the conflict resolution system, but I don't think they did. It looks like a cleaned up version of what they used.
Streamlined
in Fate
it a little.
War. Yeah, streamlined it a little bit, cleaned up some of the language a little bit, but it looks like it's all Fate Core.
Yep.
And I did notice that. The license for this particular book is a version of the Creative Commons license.
So that the
Atomic Robo stuff remains protected intellectual property.
Right.
But the Fate Core rules and the Fate Core build stuff.
Yeah.
Right. The stuff that would be under strict rules stuff.
Yeah.
Goes under the Creative Commons stuff, and cool. That's again. I thought that was really, really fantastic, really generous. Mm-hmm. This compares to the Fate Freeport book, which is really the only other one of the new line, don't you think? Or do we count Strange Tales in there?
Eh, that's more story, but it's got stats, too.
It's got some. Well, Fate Freeport is a, I mean, it's a whole world book.
Yep.
And Atomic Robo is a whole world book.
Yeah, and then there's the, what is that?
Super you know, game Freeport, you need Fate Accelerated to run.
Yeah, at least.
And, you know, Atomic Robo is entirely self-contained.
Yep.
So, anyway, but it's cool. Looking forward to getting into it. All right, this is run long, but it's all been good stuff, so thanks for sticking with us. Gert, do you have any closing observations or remarks?
Buy Ogre.
Buy Ogre. $3. Good yep. investment.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.